from the Greek translation. Most of you probably know that in our Bibles, the book of Esther has been translated from the Hebrew text, the Masoretic text. But the Septuagint has the Greek version of Esther. And so that's what I'd like to read from this morning. The book of Esther is noted for being the only book in the Bible that doesn't contain the name of God. But in the Greek version, it does contain the name of God. And it also has several prayers, actually, that Esther and her uncle Mordecai prayed to God. I'd like to read some of that. But I just have several different things that I'd like to notice from the book of Esther. And I want to begin reading in chapter 4. We remember the story, probably most of us, how the queen had the first queen had disobeyed the king, and so because of her rebellion against her husband, the king decided to look for another queen, and that's what was happening here in this story. Esther became the queen. And then I'd like to read in chapter 4 after Esther had already become the queen. And Mordecai, I think it was her cousin, actually. Mordecai was Esther's cousin. And he had taken Esther as his, in the King James Version, it says that he had taken her as his daughter. Let's see. Yes, in chapter 2, in verse 7, it says that he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Okay, so she was his cousin. But in the Greek version, it says he had a foster child, daughter of Amminadab, his father's brother, and her name was Esther. And when her parents were dead, he brought her up for a wife for himself. And the woman was beautiful. So there's a discrepancy there. There's a difference between the Hebrew and the Greek. It says in that he brought her up for his wife. But apparently they still hadn't married. She was just a young woman. Okay. So Mordecai was like a father for Esther. Like an adopted father. Or possibly eventually he was thinking to marry her, but apparently had not done that yet. Okay, now after Haman had made a wicked plan against the Jews to kill all of them because of his jealousy with Mordecai, because of the jealousy he had against Mordecai. Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. And he was a very special man, and everybody bowed down to him. But Mordecai did not bow down to him. And so Haman had made a plan to kill all the Jews. And now in chapter 4, I'd like to read what happened. It says, Mordecai, having perceived what was done, tore his clothes, in chapter 4, in verse 1, It says, Mordecai, having perceived what was done, tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and sprinkled dust upon himself. And having rushed forth through the open street of the city, he cried with a loud voice, a nation that has done no wrong is going to be destroyed. And he came to the king's gate and stood, for it was not lawful for him to enter into the palace, wearing sackcloth and ashes. And in every province where the letters were published, there was crying and lamentation and great mourning on the part of the Jews. They spread for themselves sackcloth and ashes. And the queen's maids and chamberlains went in and told her. And when she had heard what was done, she was disturbed. And she sent to clothe Mordecai and take away his sackcloth, but he consented not. Okay, Esther is disturbed that Mordecai, her cousin, her adopted father, is standing there in sackcloth and ashes in front of the king's gate. And she sent him good clothes so that he would put on good clothes, take off his sackcloth and ashes. But he didn't accept that. Okay, so in verse 5, Esther called for her eunuch, Hathach, who waited upon her, and she sent to learn the truth from Mordecai. And Mordecai showed him what was done, and the promise which Haman had made the king of 10,000 talents to be paid into the treasury, which might destroy the Jews. And he gave him the copy of the writing that was published in Susa concerning their destruction to show to Esther, and told him to command her to go in and make supplications to the king and to beg him for the people, remembering, he said, the days of your low estate, how you were nursed by my hand, because Haman, who holds the next place to the king, has spoken against us for death. Call upon the Lord and speak to the king concerning us to deliver us from death. Okay, so Esther tried to get Mordecai to just put on his clothes. He wouldn't do it. So she sent her eunuch to find out what was going on. And he told her what was going on. And then he not only told her, but he sends word back to her saying, you need to go into the king and plead our cause to him. So in verse 9 it says, Hathach went in and told her all these words. And Esther said to Hathach, go to Mordecai and say, all the nations of the empire know that whosoever, man or woman, shall go into the king, into the inner court, uncalled, that person cannot live. Only to whomsoever the king shall stretch out his golden scepter, he shall live. And I have not been called to go into the king for these 30 days. And Hathach reported to Mordecai all the words of Esther. Okay, she didn't just say, okay, I'll go and do what you tell me to do. She said, this is pretty serious business, and anyone that goes in there and the king doesn't stretch out his scepter, that person's going to die. And furthermore, the king hasn't even called me for 30 days. She tells Mordecai that. Okay. And Hathach, in verse 12, Hathach reported to Mordecai all the words of Esther. Then Mordecai said to Hathach, go and say to her, Esther, say not to yourself that you alone will escape in the kingdom more than all the other Jews. For if you shall refuse to heed on this occasion, help and protection will be to the Jews from another quarter. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows if you have been made queen for this very occasion. And Esther sent the man that came to her to Mordecai, saying, go and assemble the Jews that are in Susa and fast for me and eat not and drink not for 3 days, night and day. And I also and my maidens will fast. And then will I go into the king contrary to the law, even if I must die. Okay, so finally Esther consents, saying that, yes, she'll go. And if she has to die, then she has to die. But she listened and she went. That's interesting. Many times when we read the book of Esther, we think that Esther was a heroine that just was really brave and saved the nation of Israel. But it appears that Mordecai was actually the one telling her to do it. And helping her when she wasn't brave enough to do it. On her own, she might not have done it. But she listened to what her cousin was telling her to do, obeyed him, even when it was hard. And okay, now I'd like to read in the next chapter. It's kind of interesting. If we read in chapter 5, in the first several verses, about what happened here, Esther going into the king after she had fasted and prayed, and the Jews were fasting and praying. In chapter 5, in the King James Version, the Hebrew version of this story, it says that, I'll just read what it says in the King James Version. In chapter 5, in verse 1, it says, "It came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, 'What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom.' And Esther answered, 'If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day into the banquet that I have prepared for him.'" Okay, so that looks pretty easy. Esther just went in, the king held out his scepter, she touched the scepter, and the king said, "Tell me what you want, even in the half of my kingdom, and I'll give it to you." And that was just pretty simple. But I'd like to read now what it says in the Greek version. It says, "It came to pass on the third day when she had ceased praying that she put off her mean dress and put on her glorious apparel, and being splendidly arrayed and having called upon God the overseer and preserver of all things, she took her two maids and she leaned upon one as a delicate female and the other following, bearing her train. And she was blooming in the perfection of her beauty and her face was cheerful and benevolent, but her heart was straitened for fear. And having passed through all the doors, she stood before the king. And he was sitting upon his royal throne, and he had put on all his glorious apparel, covered all over with gold and precious stones, and was very terrible. And having raised his face resplendent with glory, he looked with intense anger." So we're getting a lot more details here that we didn't see in the other one. Esther going in, delicate and afraid, also praying to God, the preserver of all things. And then we see the king sitting there very terrible and angry. And then it says, continue reading, and it says, "And the queen fell and changed her color as she fainted. And she bowed herself upon the head of the maid that went before her. But God changed the spirit of the king's gentleness. And in intense feeling, he sprang from off his throne and took her into his arms, and she recovered. And he comforted her with peaceable words and said to her, 'What is the matter, Esther? I am your brother. Be of good cheer. You shall not die, for our command is openly declared to you. Draw near.' And having raised the golden scepter, he laid it upon her neck and embraced her and said, 'Speak to me.' And she said to him, 'I saw you, my lord, as an angel of God, and my heart was troubled for fear of your glory. For you, my lord, are to be wondered at, and your face is full of grace.' And while she was speaking, she fainted and fell. Then the king was troubled, and all his servants comforted her." So she fainted twice there. Then it says the king was troubled. And then the king said, "What do you wish, Esther? What is your request? Ask, even to the half of my kingdom, and it shall be yours." And then Esther presents her request, and the king grants her the request. And we know, most of us, the rest of the story, what happened, how the Lord saved the Jews, and Haman was condemned and died on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. There's something... Oh, I was going to read the prayer of Esther that she made before she went in to the king. In the Greek version, it's in chapter 4, after verse 17 in the King James Version. It says that Esther prayed. Well, actually, there's two prayers. There's a prayer that Mordecai prayed, and there's also a prayer that Esther prayed. But I'd like to read the one that Esther prayed. She said, it says that having taken off her glorious apparel, she put on garments of distress and mourning. Instead of grand perfumes, she put dung and ashes on her head, and she greatly brought down her body, and she filled every place of her glad adorning with the torn curls of her hair. And she sought the Lord of Israel and said, O my Lord, you alone are our king. Help me, I who am destitute and have no helper but you, for my danger is close at hand. I'm going to kind of skim over this prayer. Maybe I shouldn't do that, but it's a rather long prayer. And I know that Brother Wilbur has some things to share too. But it says, O Lord, do not resign your scepter to them that are not, and let them not laugh at our fall, but turn their counsel against themselves, and make us an example of him who has begun to injure us. Remember us, O Lord, manifest yourself in the time of our affliction. Encourage me, O King of gods and ruler of all dominion. Put harmonious speech into my mouth before the lion, and turn his heart to hate him that fights against us, to the utter destruction of him and of them that consent with him. She speaks about the lion. She's speaking about the king. She asks the Lord to make him hate those that fight against us. And then she says something interesting. She says, you know, O Lord, you know all things. You know that I hate the glory of transgressors and that I abhor the manners of the uncircumcised and of every stranger. You know my necessity, for I abhor the symbol of my proud station, which is upon my head in the days of my splendor. The symbol of her proud station being her crown. In the days of her splendor, she wears it on her head. I abhor it as a menstrual cloth, and I wear it not in the days of my tranquility. When she was by herself, she didn't wear it. She wore it only when she had to. And your handmaid has not eaten at the table of Haman, and I have not honored the banquet of the king, neither have I drunk the wine of libations. Neither has your handmaid rejoiced since the days of my promotion until now, except in you. O Lord God of Abraham, O God who has power over all, hearken to the voice of the desperate, and deliver us from the hand of them that devise mischief, and deliver me from my fear. Okay, then after that is when she went into the king. I should have read that first. There's one more interesting thing that here that I'd like to notice, and that is that the book opens with a dream that Mordecai had in the Greek version, which doesn't appear in the King James, of course. But it says that in his vision, it says that this is what he saw. It says, behold, voices and a noise, thunders and an earthquake and tumult upon the earth. And behold, two great serpents came forth, both ready for conflict. And there came from them a great voice, and by their voice of every nation was prepared for battle, even to fight against the nation of the just. And behold, a day of darkness and blackness, tribulation and anguish, affliction and great tumult upon the earth. And all the righteous nation was troubled, fearing their own afflictions, and they prepared to die and cried to God. And from their cry there came, as it were, a great river from a little fountain, even much water, and light, and the sun arose, and the lowly were exalted and devoured the honorable. And Mordecai, who had seen this vision and what God designed to do, having awoke, kept it in his heart and desired by all means to interpret it, even till night. Okay, that was the dream that he had. Now, at the end of the book, it speaks about that dream and what the meaning was. It says, he was remembering the dream and what it meant. He says, I remember the dream which I had concerning those matters, for not one particular of them has failed. There was a little fountain which became a river, and there was a light and the sun and much water. The river is Esther, whom the king married and made queen. The little river that was just a Jewish girl that came to be queen and came to save the Jewish nation. There was light and the sun and much water. Okay, the two serpents are Haman and myself. And the nations are those that combine to destroy the name of the Jews. But as for my nation, this is Israel, even they that cried to God and were delivered. For the Lord delivered his people, and the Lord rescued us out of all the calamities. And God wrought such signs and great wonders as have not been done among the nations. Therefore did he ordain two lots, one for the people of God and one for all the other nations. And these two lots came for an appointed season and for a day of judgment before God and for all the nations. And God remembered his people and vindicated his inheritance. Okay, do you have any thoughts? Anyone, any of the brothers have any thoughts about that? Yeah, she wasn't. It wasn't even God's will to have a king in the first place, much less being married to a pagan king. Yeah. Yeah. And probably she was really doing that in obedience to Mordecai or with his approval. She was just. Not really because she was seeking that. Okay, I'll turn the time over to Brother Wilbur.